Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
Let's go.
Happy Friday, North America. Let's go. Wake up. The weekend's here. It's the DA Show coming to you from beautiful New York on this rainy Northeast day. And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. That's right. From Nantucket to Pawtucket, from Franklin Square to Ghirardelli Square, Kalamazoo to Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
It's Mraz, it's Bogish, it's D.A. somewhere up in Lake George having another IPA. Hello, Bogish. Good morning. Happy Friday to you, good sir.
And same to you as well. And if D.A. is awake having beer, congrats to him on planning a pretty good Friday for himself.
Yeah, or still a Thursday night. We don't know. We don't know what DA does.
This is very true.
Right. And I can only hope, actually, as he continues to take these wraparound weekends. Actually, I don't hope, because I do hope he has a nice time. He's getting pounded with the storms that we are getting in the Northeast. I don't know about you, Bogus. 2:30 in the morning, it felt like a tornado was out my window on Long Island. It was unbelievable. It was brutal.
I look worse than usual this morning. I don't know how much I've slept since about 1 o'clock. Like, I woke up on my own then, couldn't go back to sleep. Just when I thought I was about to be asleep, the storm started here. Thunder, lightning, rain smacking against my window. So that kept me up. And then I get into this weird, like, no man's land where it's like, now I'm thinking, like, okay, if I fall asleep now, I can sleep for 2 more hours. I can sleep for 90 more minutes. I can sleep for an hour. And all of a sudden, it was like 4 a.m., 30 minutes from my alarm. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to get up now. So, Dude, I'm a mess right now. This has been a bad night for me. I feel like I've got a newborn again.
So, happy Friday to you. My daughter's still sleeping from 7 o'clock last night, so it's a beautiful thing here. That being said, although storms affecting the Northeast, affecting baseball games, we'll get into how we might be making up a lot of baseball games, whether they're canceled for positive tests or canceled for rain. And can the MLB have an 18 playoff in each league with an unbalanced schedule? Wacky new rules being implemented on the fly with Major League Baseball. We'll discuss that a little bit later on. Plus, tomorrow, Bogish, I know only you and I might care on this show specifically. I know there's plenty that do. The NHL drops the puck. We return and get right into the Stanley Cup playoffs. So we'll have Ron Duguay, longtime NHL veteran, former New York Ranger, joins the show a little bit later on. We obviously will do plenty of NFL. John Harbaugh has commented on Antonio Brown's love affair for Lamar Jackson. And, boy, the Pac-12 can't get out of its own way, huh? Ugh. If you ever wondered if media could be slanted, apparently even in the sports world, it can. Plenty more to get into on the show, but of course, Bogish, of course, despite the words of Howard Beck yesterday calling these glorified exhibitions, we had to rub our hands together and get into the NBA's restart. And how apropos, if you will, the Pelicans finish off a game with Rudy Gobert dishing a couple free throws to beat the Utah Jazz. The same Rudy Gobert between him and Tom Hanks that basically led to the U.S. shutting down 4 months ago. We have that. We have, of course, Lakers-Pelicans, where the fans in attendance were Kyle Lowry with a mask and Damian Lillard with a mask, and then the digital boards everywhere. There's plenty to get into of how the NBA looked, sound, felt, and what we can expect going forward. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Kawhi steps back. The Lakers have Paul George. George is out near half court. 2 seconds left. 1 second left. Three for the win. And no good. Was a foul called? No. And the Lakers win it. 103-101. Paul George is livid.
It felt like a real game to me. You know, two teams battling. Obviously, it's always a good game between us two teams. And, you know, the more and more that we use this arena, the more easier it'll be. But I can't complain for the first game.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That's John Ireland, Lakers radio, followed by Anthony Davis, who was, I think, the best player on the floor between all four teams last night, dishing 34 points. All right, so we start where we would start with baseball, where, of course, we would start with hockey, and eventually we'll start with the NFL. How does it look without fans? And, yes, we've gotten a taste of it in scrimmages, but it's hard to really get a feel for the building and everything until the lights come on and you play for real. Here's my early takeaways. I think they've done a good job capturing the court and spacing out the benches to actually make it look more full for those first three rows. I was a little curious about how digital fans on those big screens would look, because remember, we did not see how that would look in the scrimmages. I personally love the fact that they didn't just zoom video a bunch of faces with foam fingers, kind of like Roger Goodell did with the NFL draft, and we're evolving this thing. They had fake seats that these people were in. And even behind the baskets during free throws, they're waving and going nuts, almost like they'd have thunder sticks. And as weird as it is, but everything this year is always going to start with as weird as it is, I thought it kind of worked. I thought they were separated as if regular seats would be separated. I thought if you're going to be into it like that and you want to take part in being one of these fans, and I'm not exactly sure if you sign up, if you do it through being a season ticket holder, I really don't know how they're working this thing. It's not as if I got some kind of press release to do this for the Nets as a Net fan, but I thought it looked pretty good on TV, and I'm shocked. You know, Bogus, I can only equate this to, and this is going to sound so stupid, but when you ever notice when you take a picture on your phone, instead of doing a screenshot, like a picture of your computer or a picture of the TV, it always has like that grainy look. So the idea that through TV, we could see people on their computer through another screen, and it's totally crystal clear in HD, and everything looks completely normal. I found to me that look on TV to be a win. Yes, at times it looked empty and spacious on the floor, but it kind of gave me a little bit of an Olympic feel. So let's just start there. How do you think it played and looked on TV?
Yeah, I thought it looked really good. I thought it looked probably as good as it can, and similar to what the NHL has done in Toronto and Edmonton, I think they've done a really good job of kind of killing all the dead space in the arena. I mean, the end behind each baseline where there's a lot of space and nobody there, where there would normally obviously be fans and a lot of photographers and the kid with the sweat mop, like that's some dead space that you see consistently, but even that you get used to. The only really shot that kept catching my eye, and they only show it really at the beginning of the game when they're doing the opening tip, is like the shot courtside, court level, looking across where you can see like the low budget, like chintzy temporary scoreboard between the video fans and above the press box for the game employees, basically the penalty box, I should say, like that, you can see that that's makeshift and not a normal setup. But otherwise, I think it looks really good. I thought the fans, while, you know, it's not always clear and they do kind of get all digitized and kind of mesh together, but I thought it looked cool. I like that they were live, not the digital video game folks we've seen on Fox, and it was a good touch behind the baskets too for free throws. I thought, all things considered, the NBA has done a really good job down there making this look like they're not playing in an empty gym.
Yeah, and as far as, you know, Howard Beck, and we keep teasing this, talking about the glorified exhibitions and really kind of killing the hype for these games back, I think, again, you take away last night, as far as on the court goes, look, the teams looked clunky. They looked rusty. We ended up getting two pretty dramatic games with dramatic finishes, close games, which the NBA is going to hope for because that's going to keep your attention. Let's face it, Utah and the Pelicans, as I said, necessarily didn't have the buzz I had, but I was into it. I mean, the fourth quarter was fantastic. Back and forth they went. So while the gameplay was clunky, I think the closeness and tightness, and you still got a score in the low hundreds where you kind of really is that sweet spot for the NBA. in both games. I think that hit on something. Anthony Davis looked most prepared to play. Paul George looked a little eh. Zion Williamson only playing 15 minutes. Okay, he was great in those 15 minutes. You would have wanted a little more from him. Your boy Joe Inglis looked really well. Really good. So there
right.
was some clunky chemistry issues, but on individual efforts, I thought the players were there. I think over this 8-game stretch that each team plays, there is going to be, in my opinion, the haves and the have-nots. I think the games between two awesome teams that also appear on national TV first and foremost, and I'm talking about TNT or ESPN, I think they're going to pop. I think the production level behind everything is going to look really good. I mean, that TNT music in and out, the fact that Harlan and Iron Eagle are actually at the games and not having to call them from satellite places, I think absolutely helps. I really don't know off the top of my head, because later on we're going to get an ESPN doubleheader, or even a tripleheader, I think. I don't know if any of the ESPN announcers are there, but when the TNT guys are there, I think it's going to work really, really well. I would assume Breen and Van Gundy and company are there.
But maybe Breen, but I know that Ryan Rucco is not there. Adam Amin is not there because they have other things to do, so they can't be
right.
in the bubble. Breen, since he's NBA specific, could theoretically be there if he wanted to be inside for the next 3 months, but I don't know if he actually is.
So he could just parachute in, come the playoffs, and not even be there for the first 2 weeks, because they're going to need him for the finals. You can't have him call.
Right.
If you have Harlan and everybody in there, the finals, you can't have Breen from behind. But I think the guys at TNT being there really, really help matters. And as far as on the court picking these four teams to start the season, let me just say this. You have force-fed the Pelicans into our faces, and I've been all over this, and I think you love it with Zion Williamson, and that's fine, and I think Zion's great. We're going to get into a little bit what really is the ceiling for Zion after watching him again last night and how many eggs the NBA has in his basket. But it should be noted. I mean, we've put the Pelicans here and tried to bend the rules as much as possible on how to make the postseason and how to get to this 8-seed tournament. In theory, I guess the Pelicans are 3.5 games back from achieving that. And you go out, and I know we talked about it yesterday. Maybe we should have hammered this point home. Guy's got to play more than 15 minutes if you're in a close game like this. If you have flown your team down to a bubble to try to make the postseason, I know that he is your guy you don't want to wreck. He's now coming off being out of the bubble for a couple days. Look, if you're Alvin Gentry, Zion Williams got to play more than 15 minutes last night in a game where, frankly, if he's on the floor another 5 minutes, you might win this thing. So why am I having my time wasted with some of these teams on the fringe, especially a Pelican team, just to get Zion Williamson on my television more, if in the end we're just going to look out for him, only play 15 minutes, and the Pelicans really have no shot at making the postseason? It just kind of feels like a slap in the face that we can't just do what the NHL's doing, which is jump right in and figure out a way to start playing a postseason. Because otherwise, we're watching these games that really, really don't matter. And even after the Laker-Clipper game, you know, the Lakers win and they have so much cushion now at this point, you realize, all right, that was fun back and forth, but again, it simply doesn't matter. I just feel like in the end, we are happy basketball's back, but we are getting force-fed some garbage before it matters.
Well, I mean, on one hand, we did get a close game, regardless of how many minutes that Zion played last night, and I guess in their defense, even though they did configure this to get him out there, but the unforeseen circumstance of whatever happened to get him out of the bubble was the problem here, because without that, he's not playing only 15 minutes last night. So, you know, there's only so many fingers to point here blame-wise, because in theory, up until, you know, the middle of last week, he was scheduled to be out there for forever last night, and maybe in the middle of a dramatic Pelicans win, which they need. They don't have to, you know, mathematically go 8-for-8 down there, but they have almost no wiggle room because of the amount of teams around them and the gap between them and that 9 seed, at least to trigger that weird extra play-in round. But, like, there's only so much you can say about the way that it backfired, because it was nobody's fault that whatever happened to make him leave the bubble and throw off his conditioning.
But not to be a jerk about conditioning. All I've heard out of Zion Williams is how great a shape he came into this with. He did step away for a week. I mean, whatever he dealt with, I wish him the best. You're telling me he steps away for a week and now he comes back and, you know, he had to quarantine for 4 days. I understand that's a little different. He's not out there running wind sprints and he can only play 15 minutes. I mean, the guy is not 37 years old. He's a young superstar athlete. I know that I am a fat tub of goo at 33. If LA Fitness was open today, could go out and easily give you 20 minutes. Now, I might be laboring at the end. Zion Williamson with conditioning can't play more than 15 minutes last night? I mean, what are we really worried about here, Bogish? What are you worried that, what, he's going to faint? Is he going to twist something, pull a muscle because he's not in that good of shape? The guy had 4 months to get in shape, 1 week away in a four-day quarantine when he comes back, and suddenly we're so worried about his conditioning. I understand it's the NBA, and it's not me playing up the block at Belmont Park. I understand that. But 15 minutes, the guy could give you more than 15 minutes when you need every game to go trigger making some sort of postseason. Alvin Gentry's completely wasting our time with this year.
Yeah, I guess the confusion I would have is how they managed the 15 where it was done midway through the fourth quarter and they just basically
right.
wiped their hands and said, you know, see you tomorrow, Zion. There's certainly, I think, room to reassess the way they went about his 15 minutes. And I too was like, I felt like we were missing something because I understand that these guys on one hand are fine-tuned machines and you know missing 1 day of anything is significant and he missed a handful of days, but I assume he also wasn't laying on a couch for all of those days eating Doritos. And then when
right.
he came back through 4 days of quarantine, I mean, could they not have thrown an exercise bike in his room? I know they gave him a yoga mat and said he had some Zoom workouts. He also, again, wasn't being one of us on the couch with chips and dip and drinking beers watching scrimmage games. So,
and even if he was, promise you, there have been multiple days throughout this quarantine where I have watched 4 episodes of Ozark, eaten easily an entire bag of barbecue chips, drank 4 Kona Big Waves, and have still gotten my butt out there, and it might have taken me an hour, but gone 3 miles on some kind of jog and walk. Zion Williamson can play more than 15 minutes as a pristine athlete coming off a 4-day quarantine where he is doing Zoom workouts.
Yeah, I agree. The 15 minutes seemed low for what we know he has and hasn't done in the last couple of days. And then to leave yourself with 0 Zion minutes and no wiggle room, even as that game gets close again and it's back and forth late, I mean, he can't get back in there for the last 3 minutes and try and steal you a win. I was confused as well. Again, the wild card remains this unforeseen break that threw everything off. But still, when push came to shove last night, I'm with you that I can't imagine there weren't 3 or 4 more minutes for Zion to go out there and try and steal this win for them that they need so desperately if they truly do care about getting into the postseason.
Did Alvin Gentry completely waste everybody's time by putting the Pelicans in the bubble only to pull the reins back on Zion at 855-212-4227. That number again is 855-212-4CBS. Also, how did you guys feel the NBA worked? Did you like it? Buzz behind opening night? The fans there? Will you be back? We got 4 games today, although the first game is more of a local game with the Magic and the Nets.
It's 6 games today.
Oh, 6 games today. Okay.
It's 6 games today. I thought it was 4-2 for some reason and then looked at yesterday and it's 6 games today.
So off the top of my head, I know we get the Bucks and Celtics at 6 or 6:30. Then we get the Mavs and Rockets at 9:30. Those games are a doubleheader on ESPN. You get an NBA TV game at 4. And I know you get the Nets and Magic locally here in New York. And yes, obviously down in Florida as well on Orlando's affiliate at 2:30. Were the other two games late games? Are they early? Do we have a game before 2:30?
There's another 4 o'clock game, which is Suns Wizards alongside Grizzlies Blazers. That's the NBA TV game you mentioned. And then Kings Spurs play at 8.
Okay. All right. So we get 6 games tonight. We jump in. And this is why, this is why when we talked about, and I know we have to break real quick, but the national TV aspect of this, the NHL is giving local markets their rights to the qualifying round. I think even the first round, like they normally would have. But if you can't get the game there, you're still going to get the games on the variety of the NBC family of networks. The NBA's, you know, you're playing these 8 games and we've returned. In my opinion, I know you have local TV contracts you need to satisfy. You have an NBA TV network. Find a way to get these games on other than that. Like, what is ESPN doing at 4 o'clock? They're playing a baseball game? They can't throw the other game on? TNT, the same thing. How many episodes of Law & Order do we need? We've seen enough. Get these games on national TV. There should be no possible way you miss an NBA game that you want to see in these final 8 games. I'm sorry, we've waited long enough. At all your inventory of television, people are going to watch these games. They're going to watch them. So I would unload the chest just like the NHL is doing if you're the NBA and not make games that you can't find unless you're in a local market. But again, I don't know the ins and outs of all these local TV contracts. But nonetheless, I think the NBA might be dropping the ball there a bit. Buzz? No buzz? to steal from our Al Dukes. What do you think the NBA's return? When we come back, Major League Baseball is changing rules on the fly. We have the Phillies now with a couple positive tests among their staff, so we're going to have some cancellations here coming up, or postponements, however, whatever you want to word it, this weekend. What will Major League Baseball do when it comes to filling out the 60-game schedule? Will they kind of have a plan in place? Do we like it? We'll discuss next. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Sometimes all they have is batches of really fat storks. And sometimes you get what looks like a thin bundle of storks and there's a couple fat ones in there. Just like there's broccoli crowns and broccoli storks, there should be a section of the supermarket for fat asparagus and thin asparagus.
Mraz, are you calling a group of asparagus storks?
What would you call them?
Stalk.
Okay.
Yeah. Storks. They don't deliver babies.
All right, whatever.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the DA Show. Storks. What is the difference? Storks are the baby one. Storks are the asparagus one. And if you're watching on Watch DA or Twitch right now, you can see me adjusting lighting here for Kaplan. And now I'm starting to feel like I'm looking like Two-Face from The Dark Knight. Hello, Andrew Pogish. How are you?
I'm okay, Shawnee. How are you and your birds?
So you could tell right now that I don't know what I'm doing and I didn't pay attention in science class. Or what class do you learn about lighting? Is it some kind of, is that biology? What do you learn about the lighting?
You mean like the moon lighting or TV lighting?
Yeah, I guess.
You don't really learn that in like through high school. That's more of a specialized play in college.
Okay. Well, I thought I learned about lighting anyway. But so we're doing the Watch DA stream. The Wizard of Watch DA is there. We're on Twitch. Search CBS Sports Radio on Twitch. We might even have some fun with me on Twitch next week. Maybe I'll interact with some of you guys. But, yeah, we're trying to get the lighting right in our studios here. And apparently I have now moved the lamp because he said it was a little dark. And I'm looking at myself on the screen and I can only see half my face. So I've done something here that's no good. I'm going to go back to where I was. Hold on here, folks.
Where were
How about
you on
that?
The night of...
Yeah, we're going to work
I mean,
on the
I
fly.
Think the part of the problem is that we that's better. Whatever you just did worked a little bit. I mean, you're still darker on your left side, but it's not like it just was, where you couldn't even see the other side of your face.
Okay. All right, we're going to go with this for now. Also, in honor of the NBA starting and your short debate, if you go to Watch DA, I am wearing a crisp 2003 New Jersey Nets Kenyon Martin jersey, that gray that they wore in the postseason, similar gray to the shorts that Bogish rocked yesterday. This jersey, how about this, Bogish? You want to talk about how big I've been in my life? This jersey is big on me. I bought this jersey in 2003, and it was snug on me then. So I have actually, in 17 years, made a lot of progress. This jersey, 17 years old, and here I am swimming in it on a Friday morning here on the DA Show. How about that?
Well, yeah, congratulations, Kenyon.
How about that?
Good job.
I've already smashed a rice cake with peanut butter to start my day. I'm tackling today. But Zion can't play more than 15 minutes. He can't play more than 15 minutes. His conditioning is a lot of whack.
Yeah, as per usual, you are the better athlete than an NBA player.
No doubt. No doubt. Now, Major League Baseball, Bogish, ran into another COVID problem. The Philadelphia Phillies, you know, we kind of had been waiting for this. How, and this was a major question, I think, for all sports to be watching. After all the Marlins tests, and it feels like every day we wake up, Ken Rosenthal reports that somebody else on the Marlins is positive now. How would the Phillies, their opponent from last weekend, come through? And so far to date, none of their players, thankfully, have had COVID. If I have this right, it was two staff members yesterday that tested positive, coaches on the team, correct?
One coach and one person that works in the Phillies clubhouse, which
right.
is in addition to one person who worked in the Marlins clubhouse
Marlins.
When they were there last weekend.
So clearly, in some way, shape, or form, this spread. Now, maybe you could argue that coach went out to dinner or something like that and he got it somewhere else. I guess that's possible, but we're going to put 1 + 1 = 2 here, and the Marlins spread got there. Again, like we've learned, though, it could take 2 weeks to get a positive test. That's the funkiness of one of the many funkinesses of the virus. But now the Phillies and Major League Baseball have shut it down, as John Taffer would say. Shut it down! They've shut it down. There will be no Phillies-Blue Jay games this weekend, which, on the surface, let me just tell you, Bogish, I'm thankful that the reaction after reading this wasn't the same reaction after the Phillies, which was cancel the season, we shouldn't be doing this. It seems like because MLB didn't do that following the Marlins, it was a more measured, okay, well, what do we do now? Okay, you're going to take these games off. But therein lied the next question. if they're taking three dates off, and the Marlins have already taken five dates off, and it made the Yankees and Phillies and who and the Orioles each take 2 days off, you're starting to lose games in what was already a tight window to play 60 games. And then you throw on the normal nonsensical stuff, which is there's rain throughout the summer, and Major League Baseball has rainouts as well. So how would you do situations where you make up those games? And are you going to play doubleheaders? Well, on the fly yesterday, beginning tomorrow, if you are playing a doubleheader in Major League Baseball, it will look a lot like you and Fat Uncle Eddie playing beer league softball. You're going to be doing seven-inning doubleheaders, which means, don't tell everybody over the age of 60 who's a baseball fan, the designated hitters in the National League, and you're not even going to get nine innings in a doubleheader. 2 7-inning games. Now, I, Bogish, I don't know if you're like me, I'm anything goes in 2020. If that's what we got to do to make sure we get games and a play doubleheader, fine with me. 7 innings, we'll make it work. Honestly, I could care less if Major League Baseball switches to 7 innings permanently. They never would, and people will go, how could you say that? I'm cool with 7-inning games if that means the games are 2.5 hours like the NHL and the NBA. I'd be fine with that too. But they're going to do 7 innings for doubleheaders, so let's just start there. Are you cool changing the rules on the fly and implementing this here in 2020?
Yes, of course. I mean, almost everything is on the table. There's very few things you could push back on in these scenarios. We haven't gotten there yet, but I do think, you know, we are getting close now, depending on how things continue to play out with the Phillies and how much longer the Marlins need to not play baseball, or if all of a sudden we now have to bring up 20 Marlins minor leaguers. And let's not pretend that the Marlins, the original Marlins, were that good to begin with. So the guys who are behind those guys are certainly not great shakes either. So I think we're close now to having to have a conversation about where competitive balance is and when it's still okay and when it's not going to be okay. And I know that you don't like negativity, but sometimes negativity is reality. And, you know, we're getting close now to where anything that you're saying to the positive is just kind of ignoring the real issues. I mean, we have two teams right now that theoretically may not have to, maybe can't play for another week after the week that they're playing right now because of incubation periods and the ability of more tests to come in positive day after day after day. And we have to right now keep them separate because we can't have them bring in other teams who then start their own 1 to 2 week clock of missing games and not playing. So I've never said going back to the first Marlin, you know, the first news of this really getting serious that the season should stop now. But like there are serious conversations on the horizon, and those and they get closer every single time that the Phillies get another positive test here, which then furthers their time off the field. So for now, 7 innings, fine. They're also talking about keeping rosters at 30 for longer than they were planning on it. That's fine too. There are other things that I'm sure they could come up with here if they have to figure things out. You know, we'll have to probably already the ship has sailed on everybody playing 60 games. We're going to get to the end of this, hopefully, where some teams luckily have gotten through 60. Maybe somebody's only played 56 or 55, and we're doing this on win percentage, not straight records. So, yeah, there's all of those things are fine within this season. But, you know, still looming closer, and I think a lot of people want to acknowledge, is the fact that this is a bad spot for baseball, and they have to do everything they possibly can to keep it just confined within the Marlins and the Phillies right now.
So you have set me up perfectly for my plan for Major League Baseball this year, Bogus.
Uh-oh. And Strip clubs in the bubble?
This could go one of two ways, right? We know I've had a lot of things that I've said that people have scoffed at, but I have tried to think about this logistically and make this make sense. And if you want to crush me for, but maybe you'll buy in. Just hear me out here. One thing that seems so clear to me after this Phillies incident and, of course, what's going on with the Marlins is Major League Baseball is going to find a way, positive tests be damned, to make sure they get to that expanded postseason to collect this postseason revenue. They didn't start this thing to shut this down. They're going to find a way. You mentioned it. I think you hit on something. Sometimes negativity is reality. And the idea that if you get to the point where you got to pull 20 guys up to make sure you start playing games, you know, how does that affect competitive balance? Can you even play an unbalanced schedule where, you know, 10 of your games are played in a situation where you have all these minor leaguers up? I think baseball has done a good job of setting the 60-game schedule, and I understand there's a lot of getting paid for 60 games that goes into it, but because teams that are test positive have to play other teams, like you're seeing with the Blue Jays this weekend, like you saw with the Yankees and Orioles this week, things are going to get funky, things are going to get goofy, and I believe that the answer to this, Bogish, is not to go by win percentage. It's not to worry about doubleheaders being played on the fly, although they're already here and they're already going to do it. I really think for one season, Major League Baseball should give these teams this option. Look, okay, you have 10 positive tests if you're the Marlins. We want you to get going Monday. Would you rather wait another week to play, but you're going to affect other teams playing, or do you want to call your 20 guys up, but you might get 7 losses out of it? I think Major League Baseball for 1 year needs to do its best to try to play 60, but because of competitive balance and because of, you know, maybe games that aren't fair playing with all these minor leaguers, I think they need to implement a playoff committee like college football does. And I think instead of win percentage, because that's where a lot of people will go, if one team is playing 8 more games, sometimes 10 more games than another team, well, they have 8 or 10 more opportunities not only for wins but for losses as well, which could all affect win percentage. I would get Joe Torre. I would get whoever else you want to get a panel of whoever's going to be locked into baseball here, and let them make a call at the end of the year. Now, it doesn't have to be for division winners. I think maybe you still reward your 3 division winners. But I think if you're already expanding the postseason anyway, I think rather than the Marlins maybe take one on the chin for 10 more games, not that they were going to be great anyway, but if this happened to the Dodgers or the Yankees or the Red Sox, the Cubs, what would we be saying? I would find a way for one season, since we're changing everything anyway, to implement a committee, because I don't think there's any way you're getting 60 games, and I think win percentage is going to open up for a lot more fighting. And maybe, yes, a committee will open up for fighting, but at least you'll have some baseball experts going, no, their win percentages were similar, we didn't play even games, but this team's better than this team, they're getting in the playoffs. That's where I would go for one season. I'd go totally outrageous with that.
So you want to put the 3 division winners based on win percentage are in,
yes,
and then the other 5 teams would get picked,
yes,
by this committee, even if,
yes,
they, you know, and they all have, they could be the rest of the AL Central by happenstance if you thought the five,
yes,
the next 5 best teams were all.
Exactly. I'm taking out the idea that the second team makes it. Now, truth be told, I still think in doing this, you're going to get to the point where most of, if not all, the teams making the post probably are similar to the ones with win percentage anyway. But I do think that if this wasn't the Marlins right now, who we don't expect to make the playoffs anyway, and it was the Atlanta Braves who are picked to win a division, and they have to now call up a bunch of minor leaguers, and they go 1-9 in a 10-game stretch where until they have all these guys quarantined. Let's say that happened this season. They, in theory, would end up based on win percentage, or even if it's shorter amount of games, likely end up missing the playoffs in a very tough NL East. But if for the other 45 games where they had all their regular players, not they were on a tear, well, is that right and fair to that fan base or to that team, to that roster, that they tested positive? And maybe they only tested positive because they played the Marlins or whoever broke rules by going to strip clubs in Atlanta, if that's what happened, right? Is that fair to them to punish them like that? I think maybe the committee would look at him and say, no, you don't deserve to get in. But I think for 1 year, we already see it in college football, and I know it causes a lot of controversy. I think it can work in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I don't know, to be honest. I mean, it sounds like you're almost trying to build in one more excuse to make sure your Yankees get in if they have some kind of issue.
No.
That they can get put in because they didn't somehow win the AL East because maybe they had some bad luck and go, well, now they're healthy, so now we can put them in, even though, you know, they're 5 percentage points worse than the Blue Jays in the standings. That seems way too difficult, and I don't know that it actually really solves all of that much. You know, win percentage is win percentage, even if and it solves some of the issues based on some teams maybe only playing 52 games or 56 games or 57. And I don't know that humans make it any better solving the equation if we end up with a scenario. And I guess I have the same kind of dismissal for the Marlins, which sounds bad, but like because they're not a contending team, like their record doesn't matter that much to me. I'm thinking about their opponents.
Right.
And, you know, just staying in the division, you know, the NL East could come down to when the Braves or Nationals, let's say, or the Mets played the Marlins. Like if one of those teams played them with their makeshift roster and beat them 6 times while somebody else played them when they were back at full health and split 6 games, that can make all the difference. Now, your committee might be able to fix that, but I don't know. That seems, you know, I said before, I'm open to almost anything. I don't think I'd be open to this. I don't think that this one really helps. I think I'd rather them just default to win percentage as opposed to just straight win-loss record if they have to. I don't know that we need to have a panel sitting down breaking down teams because they had a 3 or 4 game play differential between them.
At Mraz CBS, at Andrew Bogish, would you be in favor of a Major League Baseball playoff committee like college football over the win percentage, knowing that there's no way we're getting to 60 games for all these teams? It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask us a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Tweet us a question at Mraz CBS, at Andrew Bogish, hashtag Ask the Pros. Be listening later in the show when we may answer your question. Ask the Pros is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Bogey, what do we got in the update?
Nope, I'll put my mic on again. Let's just recap where we are with baseball, why we just went through all of those things. It's because the Phillies are now off through the weekend, like the Marlins, because that one coach and that one home clubhouse attendant tested positive in their last round of COVID-19 screening. Yes, no players have tested positive yet, but the window for that being possible is still at least a couple of days open. The Phillies' next games for now are Monday and Tuesday at the Yankees. They were supposed to play the Jays this weekend. Toronto was just in D.C. They are staying there until baseball tells them where they should go.
Sorry to interrupt the update already. The Yankees and Phillies were supposed to play 4 games this week. So the Yankees now, wasn't even aware of this as a Yankee fan, are scheduled to play the Phillies on Monday, Tuesday. Who were the Yankees supposed to play Monday and Tuesday?
First of all, I could always be wrong, but I thought that the Yankees and Phillies were supposed to play again at the beginning of next week, but I could absolutely be wrong.
It was a 4-game split series. They were playing at Philly Monday, Tuesday, and they were supposed to play at Yankee Stadium Wednesday, Thursday. So my only assumption, maybe the Yankees were supposed to play the Orioles Monday and Tuesday next week, and they just did that this week and they did a flip.
Yeah,
of the schedule.
I don't know. So forget that sentence. The important thing is the Jays, like the Nationals now, don't have an opponent this weekend, and they're going to just hang out in D.C. for the time being. Everybody else played last night, of course, in San Francisco. The Padres and Giants went to extra innings, and San Diego went nuts.
Ground ball up the middle. Keep the line moving. Base hit for Junior. El Nino with a base hit. On to score is Ty France. A dozen. 12-6. San Diego.
I missed Ted Leitner on Padres radio. Fernando Tatis Jr., RBI single, capped off a 6-run 10th inning. It's a 12-7 win for those Padres over the Giants. The Yankees did extend their win streak in Baltimore to 17-8-6, and the Royals won in Detroit 5-3. Trevor Rosenthal recording his first save since August 12th of 2017, thanks to injuries and then struggles getting back to effectiveness. And now, tonight, one of real games at the NBA campus at Disney World. 2 games and 2 close ones. The Jazz beat the Pelicans 106-104 when Brandon Ingram missed a 3 at the buzzer. As we've been discussing, Zion Williamson played just 15 minutes, none of the last 7-plus. He scored 13 points but did not have a rebound. Then the Lakers got by the Clippers 103-101. LeBron scored the game win with 12 seconds left. Anthony Davis had 34 in the win for LA. 6 more games today, starting with the Nets and Magic at 2:30 Eastern. And the SEC has opted for a 10-game conference-only football schedule that starts September 26. The bad news there is multiple schools lobbied for a non-conference game, too, to keep alive all of these rivalries like South Carolina-Clemson, Florida-Florida State. But as one AD said, they just ran out of Saturdays. Sean, back to you.
All right, we come back. One former NFL coach, future Hall of Fame coach, at 73 years old, is doing a lot more conditioning than apparently Zion Williamson was. We'll talk about what happened with him. Plus, I have your answer on how the MLB has totally changed around this schedule. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Subliminal advertising. We learned about
it
in marketing class. Subliminal advertising.
What was that again?
It's like Sublime the band. Well, let me sound this out. Subliminal advertising.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
no wonder I nailed the SATs earlier this year. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by GEICO. Did you know that right now GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit GEICO.com to learn more. Real quickly, Bogus, on the baseball schedule. Just by happenstance, the Yankees were supposed to play at Camden Yards versus the Orioles for three games starting on Tuesday next week. The Phillies were supposed to again meet the Marlins next week for three beginning on Tuesday. Since all of these four teams were intertangled in this COVID mess that caused the Yankees to play the Orioles for two this week, and some Phillies-Marlins games and whatnot to be postponed, or I'm sorry, the Marlins-Orioles games to be postponed, Phillies-Yankees to be postponed. We will get the Phillies and Yankees for two next week in that place of the Yankees-Orioles and in place of Phillies-Marlins, and Marlins-Orioles are supposed to play two, and they will find a way to play that third that will be missed in a doubleheader, a now seven-inning doubleheader later on. So that answers that question.
So now, I was kind of right.
Yes, yes. It just, okay. The MLB... they got lucky in a way, but I guess that's going to happen more often than not when you're only playing within your region. But they got lucky in that what happened with these four teams being kind of together, you know, still would have happened next week. So it allowed for some wiggle room with the schedule, which I even as a Yankee fan, I was unaware. That's how much we're changing these on the fly. Usually, even over 162, I know who's up next for the Yankees. I didn't even realize we had already rescheduled and we're playing the Phillies. I just thought we were going to be back at it with the Orioles again. But nonetheless, Tom Coughlin, Bogus, 73 years old, you know, former coach of the beloved New York Giants, now running things for the Jaguars, 73 years old. We remember his face freezing off in the 2007 NFC Championship game. He goes out riding his bike at 73, ends up having an accident, breaks ribs, punctures a lung at 73 years old. He is recovering and is expected to make a full recovery. Could you imagine, Bogus, at 73 being that active that you're out there riding bikes that you can and getting into enough of an accident you puncture a lung and break ribs? I got news for you. There are days I go out, I don't want to exercise, I do it so I could hopefully make it to 73. But at 73, if you think I'm getting my ass on a bike and risking puncturing a lung and breaking ribs, Tom Coughlin to me has got to be the toughest guy on the planet.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want to ride a bike at 73. I want to be able to ride a bike at 73 and then choose not to, not be told that I can't, you know, not be like, your hip's going to break or this is too high or this is too low, like stay off a bike. I'd like to have myself in the shape still at 73 to get on a bike and be active, but then just choose to stay with my lemonade on my rocking chair on my front porch. But yeah, I mean, this sounds like a lot for me to recover from at 40. And Tom Coughlin at 73 is going to, I'm assuming, be back sooner rather than later because he's always ahead of schedule. He probably was at all his appointments 5 minutes early as well. But yeah, I mean, at some point, I want to be able to just take it easy and remove almost all risk from my life. But here's Tom Coughlin pedaling like a madman on a bike.
Unbelievable. 73 years old. And really, we do wish TC the best. That's terrible to get into an accident like that. But we used to go, how the heck is Romo getting out there with a punctured lung? Is Coughlin ever getting on a bike again after puncturing a lung, Bogus? A lung punctured. Think about that. That sounds devastating.
Yeah, I know.
I really don't say this tongue-in-cheek. I say this seriously. If I am ever in a situation where I have punctured a lung, there's a good chance you never see me in the DA show again. Like, I hang it up. That's it. That's the type of injury. I don't know that I could ever make it back from to speak again. And Tom Coughlin's already going to make a full recovery? Yeah. Puncturing a lung, that's your windbag.
Yeah, I mean, it's very dangerous, but you would theoretically make a full recovery and be just back to normal yourself. So I don't know if that's good enough for you to just cash out of work for the rest of your life if that was to happen to you.
Maybe I'd be Ricky Bobby saying I'd never walk again. When we come back, Zion Williamson shoved down our throats again last night. What really is his ceiling in the NBA? We discuss next. It's Bogus, it's Mraz, it's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.